Anyway, if you have your Bibles, if you'd raise them with me, let's give God glory for his word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Last week, we started a new message series that's going to take us through the next few weeks. The Kingdom of God. And we began with, the Kingdom of God is at hand. We talked a little bit about what that means. And the three main points of understanding the Kingdom of God is that the Kingdom of God, to truly, fully understand the Kingdom of God and what that actually means, we have to understand that it's the kingly rule of God. God has to be the ruler of his kingdom. From that, we understand that his kingdom is based on his personality and characteristics in Scripture. His kingdom will not be outside of who God is. It will be based on who he is, his personality, his heart, his mind, his thoughts, all those things. And the third point of that is we recognize that it is a realm. It is a realm. And it is at hand, meaning it's here, it's near you, it's available to the touch, to reach out and grab. And we began by talking about what it means, the element of the kingdom of God is at hand. And we talked about two of the three points, and today we'll do the third point. We talked about how we first need to seek the kingdom, then we need to find the kingdom. Today, we're going to go into, now that we've sought it, now that we've found it, now this is the hard part, believe it or not, we have to enter it. We have to enter it. And as I thought about entering it, the more I thought about it, the more I thought how difficult this is. This is the most difficult thing to do. I can look for something. I can even find something. But it's hard to now use and utilize what I have found. Because what I have found may require a commitment, may require a sacrifice of time, effort, whatever it might be. It may require me stepping out of myself to do something I may not be accustomed to do. But now I have to do something. I am accountable to do something with what I sought and I have found. I thought about how many people we're chasing. Ooh, we heard about Jesus. Let's go seek him. And then they find him. And Jesus says something. And they walk away sad. We read in Scripture how many people just walked away from Jesus' words. They heard them. They were excited about seeing him. Can you lower the mic just a little bit? They were excited about seeing him. They were rejoicing. They couldn't wait. You know, it's like getting up on a Saturday morning as a kid to watch your favorite cartoon. You found it, you're watching, and it was a lousy episode. And you're like, why'd I get up at 7 o'clock for this? You know, that you rejected. And how many people rejected him and walked away from him? And as I thought about this some more, we sang earlier about every high place must come down, every stronghold, you know, must be torn down, must be broken. And the more I thought about this, and I read recently in one of a book by Derek Prince about tearing down strongholds, about these high places and these strongholds, how the true godly kings of the Old Testament tore down those high places because they represented something. They represented something you can go back to sin. See, a stronghold is what we are prone to do till God deals with it and breaks it within us. The high place is the place we go where that stronghold impacts us. See, just as an example, I might have a stronghold on pornography, but my high place is that computer that I go to watch pornography. So in my repentance, in my breaking and tearing down of that high place and breaking that stronghold, I need to take that computer and destroy it. And that we've had people do that in the past. If your stronghold is alcoholism and addictions, you may need to stop driving by the bar or the place that you used to go to get what you needed. Because that's a stronghold. You got to tear it down. That it's a high place. I mean, it's got to come down. In your life, it has to come down. And this is the point where we seek in the kingdom of God. We found it. But now, what is it that's keeping us from breaking through? It's going to be either a high place, a stronghold, or both. As I said, every godly king in the Old Testament went to those high places that were set up for pagan gods and destroyed them. The not-so-godly kings always returned to them and rebuilt them or used them or let them be, to be, quote, politically correct in their days. When God calls us to tear down those strongholds, that's how you enter the kingdom of God. Those high places must come down so you will not be tempted to go to them again. We're fasting. My temptations: pizza, bagels, cheesecake. Now, fasting more than that, but if you, temptations. Remember telling my wife Thursday morning how great I felt. I've been able to resist it, nothing. Even 2 weeks ago Saturday, I ordered pizza for the police department here in Keyport at the pizza place. I went to, you know, bagel place and a sub place and didn't bother me. I was able to break through. But Thursday morning, as soon as after I said those words to my wife, I went to work and they had a party. And at that party, they had bagels galore, fresh, hot Eli's bagels. And Mexican, which is right there, next level down. You know, and it's like, nope, that's it, Lord. Not gonna stay away from that high place, which is the break room, where all that stuff. And when somebody actually brought the bagel back to me and said, here, like, no, thank you, I'm good. You know, it's got to get away, tear down those high places, and stand on the Word of God, stand on what God has called us to break those holds of those strongholds. Then hold on. So how do we do that? Well, number one, this is what we're going to talk about today. How do we break those things in order to enter the kingdom of God? Number one, repentance. Simple, repentance. First point, repentance. Repent. What is a repentant heart? It's a heart that changes its mind. That's what repentance is. It's not something super spiritual in terms of the definition, but it's saying, God, I changed my mind of the way I was doing things, the way I was thinking things about things, the way I was acting, and I'm going to start doing these things in a new way. I change my mind. I repent. I recognize the old way was not right in your eyes, so I am changing my mind, my thoughts, all those things in my life. And the first thing we need to do to enter the kingdom of God is to repent. Repent means, literally in the dictionary, means to think differently or afterwards, to reconsider, to look at something and reconsider it. It's our mindset, our opinions, what we believe, all those things are a change. And you know what? As we shared last week, the very first sermon ever spoken in the New Testament was from John the Baptist, who said, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Very first word of the very first sermon What does he say? Repent. Repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's Matthew 3:2. Matthew 4:17. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of God has come near to you. So after Jesus had gone, was baptized, Holy Spirit fell upon him, spent 40 days in the wilderness, overcame the high places and the strongholds, he came back preaching, repent. Change your mind about the way you used to look at your life and start looking at it through the eyes of God. Change your glasses, because you might have been looking at life through certain glasses, but now put on the glasses that God prescribed for you so you can see clearly the way God wants you to see them. Matthew 1:14-15 says, now John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. You know what's cool about this? The gospel hasn't even been fully preached yet. But in faith, he's saying, get your mind at a place where you're ready to receive. Repent, change the way you're thinking, your way of thinking, so that when the gospel is presented to you, the truth of what God is doing is presented to you, you're not going to say, nope, that's not the way we've always done that. Our tradition says this is the way it is. Or, that's not what I was taught. I've been doing it like this forever. I'm comfortable. I'm in my comfort zone. Mm-mm. He's saying, get yourself at a place where you can receive the truth that is presented to you. See, shared with you, as God was revealing to me my areas of pride, I was asking him for those things to be revealed. I was asking him, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. This whole thing we've consecrated for you. You know, we've given up TV, we're fasting the way you've called us to fast. We've even given up our own rest and relaxation time and opening our home for prayer. And it's not only opening up our home for prayer every night, it's the fact that we have to be ready for it. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It's not like, oh, I can come home and just chill out and for the night and be done. So it's been a complete month of having ourselves at a place where God can receive, fill us, and we can receive what he's doing. So I have one of those things I've been asking God, show me areas in my life I need to lay down before you. And as he shows, I immediately have to repent and then receive his blessing. So repent, get yourself ready for these things to happen. In Matthew, in the Beatitudes, chapter 5, verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Poor in spirit is a humble heart and contrite spirit. It's the brokenhearted who says, God, I'm laying it on the line to you. I don't know what happens next. I don't know what's going to take place next, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm repenting and trusting you for these things. I'm no longer living my way. I'm trusting you. I'm repenting of the lifestyle I have chosen in the past. So repent. So whatever is in the way, if it is a stronghold, and this is what's important here, guys, is there a stronghold, something that keeps you going back to the same thing you used to do? And they take form in habits, not just in the way we think, but in the habits we get into. In the patterns that we do. What's a stronghold on us? It used to be, a stronghold for me was, I couldn't, quote, relax or rest unless the TV was on. I've had to repent and realize how to find my rest in the presence of God. What are those strongholds and what are those high places that continue to bring forth that keep us, that we need to get rid of so we can repent. Lord, I repent of this, which means I'm not going to go back to this. I need to smash it down. I need to tear it apart. If it's a computer I need to take and break, that's what I need to do. Because your spiritual life is at stake. The spiritual health of your family is at stake. The impact you will have in the spiritual is at stake. And the lives you will change is at stake. But most of all, God is saying, let me in. I want you to enter my kingdom. But you're on the outside looking in. Don't be like the rich young ruler who sought, who found, but then when he heard, he couldn't enter in. And he walked away sad because he had a stronghold and a high place that was more important to him. His high place was his role in his family and his wealth and those things. His strongholds, what he thought, how he looked at himself, his position, his attitude about those things. So repent and move forward. It always begins with your heart. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And some of you may know this, but being born again was actually a Jewish idiom back then, and it was used in 7 different ways. That's why when Jesus said this, the response was, how can I go back as a grown adult in my mom's womb? The person was confused. But what Jesus tells us, as we repent, as we prepare our hearts to receive, is that to have his presence in our hearts, in our lives, and to change the way we think, the way we feel, the way we are, our attitudes, all those things. So it begins and ends with repentance. Second way to enter is in obedience. Matthew 5:20, for I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness simply means to be in right standing with God. To be right with God. Believe it or not, this is not necessarily a diss of the scribes and Pharisees. He is saying their righteousness is their righteousness, is, as the Bible describes it, filthy rags. It's not holiness before God. But what he's saying, because what do? We look at somebody in a position, oh, they're so holy. They're so righteous. They're so good. That person on TV has got it so together. My pastor up at the pulpit got it so together. No, I don't. I struggle just like you. And what you hear me share on Sunday mornings is simply what God is showing me being relayed back to you. That's all. That's all. We struggle in these things together. We work these things out together. We're learning to make Jesus Lord of every element of our lives together. So don't be, if you want to put my name, don't let your righteousness, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of Pastor Mike. So don't look at me and say, I want to be like him. Let your heart be like the heart of God. Let it seek his heart. Let it seek his mind. Let it seek his will, his desire. Obey what he has called you to do. Obey what he is leading you to do and what to be. Mark 9:47-48. And if your eye causes you sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than two eyes to be cast into hell fire. It's going back to those high places and strongholds again. If your eye is one of those things, it's better that you do without it and enter into heaven than keep it and not enter the kingdom of heaven. You enter it by being obedient and removing any obstacle to that obedience to God. Matthew 7:21-23. Most of us know this pretty well. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness is breaking the law of God, the law of his grace, law of his love, law of his spirit. Not the written law, but the law of his heart. You're not in tune. You're not tuned into what God has for you. He didn't know you because you didn't receive his heart. You didn't have him pour into you. You did not allow yourself to be obedient in the things he has called you to do. Receive it. Walk in it. Be bold in it. Luke 22:41-43. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. Says Jesus, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What is a will? A will is defined as a determination. It's a choice. Could be a passive or active, but it still is a choice, an inclination. It's the power I have in me to do something or not to do it. This morning I read in Malachi 1:1, you know, Malachi, with the burden of the word of the Lord, he says. He's got to prophesy to Judah, the people of Judah, and say and rebuke them for some stuff they've been doing. And he calls it, what he has to do is a burden. It's a heavy weight. It's bringing anxiety. You think he had anxiety? What do you think Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, was going through here? You want to talk about humbling yourself in obedience to the point of saying, this is going to hurt. This is not going to feel good at all. This is not going to be good. These next 48 plus hours are going to be some of the worst hours of any human being's life. But not my will, but I will choose to be obedient to you, God the Father. I will stay true to what you've called me to do. My purpose in heaven is to do the will of the Father, he says. And when you see me, you will see the Father. That's obedience. And John 5:19-20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, so also does the Son does in like manner. Only does the will of the Father. How awesome would it be if everyone says, I won't move unless God says move. I won't speak unless God says speak. I won't act unless God is directing me. I mean, to be so in tune with God that people will clearly see incorruptible God in our lives. Unfortunately, we are corruptible human beings, but the Spirit of God is true and is powerful, and he is alive and active in our hearts and in our lives, and he could lead us in that path. We will not be perfected till we get to heaven, but every day we are being perfected as we grow in him, as we learn and willfully choose to be obedient to the things he has called us to. As I shared with the prayer team this morning, God gave me a really strong word that I don't normally use at all, but I've been using a lot this week, which is steadfast. Stay steadfast. Stay true. Stay on the course that God has laid out for you. whether it's in your personal life, whether it's with your church, with your work, with whatever it might be. Stay the course. Stay steadfast in what you are doing. So I say to you right now, stay steadfast in what the Lord is doing in your life, even when it does not look like anything is happening. It is. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and dominions in the heavenly realms. You fight against that. We come against that. We stay true to that in obedience to God. So we enter the kingdom of God, repentance, and then in obedience. But we also enter the kingdom of God as a child. We enter the kingdom of God as a child. Matthew 18, 3 through 5 says this, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Like a little child, we enter the kingdom of God. A child is humble. A child is dependent. A child expects the parent to take care of them, expects their needs to be met. A child believes mom and dad are Superman and Superwoman. They can go without sleep. Of course, till they become teenagers, but that's a different story. But little children look at their moms and dads like that. And they receive them. And what he's saying here, you enter the kingdom of heaven with that attitude. And when he says anyone who receives a little child like this one, he's saying anyone who receives, embraces someone who's coming with a humble heart. Coming like a sponge ready to be filled. They receive me. Why? Because God has sent them to us. What's cool, as we mentioned in prayer earlier, we had someone come Friday night to our prayer group who wasn't even saved. And you know what? That was awesome. Why? God brought them to us. We have a chance to minister God to them. And God showed up, believe it or not. He showed up and miracles happened that night while they were there and they watched. When you receive and God shows up, you receive him. Every time somebody new walks in this building or into our fold, what a privilege it is that God has drawn them to us to share his heart. We receive them in love of God, in obedience. So as a child, you enter the kingdom of God because a child just wants to learn. And guess what? Between the ages of 2 and 5, the child will learn more than the rest of their lives combined. Up until 5 years old, those 5 years of a child's birth, they will learn more in that span of time than they will learn from 6 till they take their last breath. So when somebody comes as a sponge like a child to receive, we have the blessing of loving on them and leading them into the kingdom of God with us, taking them by the hand. So you enter in as a child. Luke 18, 15 through 17. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Just again, showing the same point. It's that heart, and they're ready to receive. They receive young, they move young, and we love on them in such a way. The fourth way you enter the kingdom of God is through tribulations, believe it or not. And this is hard to take for many. Through tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14, 21 through 23 says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, 'We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God.'" What does that mean? It means it's not easy being a Christian. Those of us who are fighting through our fast, it's not easy being a Christian, because the more we press into God, the harder the enemy tries to press against us to keep us from him. Christian churches of the day in Acts were not liked. They might have been tolerated, but they were hated by the Jews, and they were kept an eye on by the Romans so they don't get out of hand. They were persecuted. They were ostracized. Many families cut ties with people in their own family. It was not easy, as it is not easy today, in order to cut ties, to deal with the stuff we deal with. And as soon as you make it public you're a Christian, you are automatically under that microscope that people are watching. And it's amazing how the persecution is happening today, where Christianity is being more persecuted than Islam in the United States. It's okay to have Muslim prayers being called out from the Duke Chapel, Duke University Chapel, but to have somebody pray in public at a football game, it's not. This is what's going on. So through tribulations, and we can even talk about personal struggles everyone has in this room, and the devil's going to attack through discouragement. But guess what? We have a refiner who refines us through the fires of tribulation. As we repent, as we stay obedient, as we keep our hearts as a child, he refines us. He matures us. We go, as Scripture says, glory to glory, being every day refined. It's like a sword after it was molded. Every day it's being sharpened with a sharpening stone by God to make sharper and stronger and more effective. And when it gets a little dull, God keeps sharpening it as we go back to him to sharpen it. He's refining us through these tribulations. 2 Thessalonians 1 through 4 through 6 says, "So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of your righteous judgment of God," your right standing with God, "that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." These tribulations help them and help us go in our godly character. Godly character does not grow when things are not difficult. Godly character grows in the most trying times. I believe Jesus went into the desert for those 40 days and was tempted and suffered in such a way so that his human side, his human part, fully God, fully man, can be as sharpened as his spiritual, as his God side. So he can come back to us and say, "Look, I get it. I know your tribulations. I know what it feels like." And during the desert time, my Father in heaven sustained me. He sharpened me. He's put me through the fires of refinement, that I'm able to endure every temptation, and I have overcome. Think about the high places and the strongholds the devil threw at Jesus. "Hey, there's a kingdom of heaven, but look, Jesus, see that kingdom over there? That can be all yours if you bow down to me." That's a high place. Jesus turn the bread into stone. You're hungry. Hunger is that stronghold that he needed to break. And he broke it by saying, the word of God, the word of God feeds me. Don't need no bread, but the word of God satisfies me. So we have repentance in obedience as a child, and through tribulations we enter the kingdom of God. And finally, we simply enter with his keys. Yes, with his keys. Matthew 16, 18 through 19 says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now we'll say what those keys specifically go into for another time, but the keys basically are the power, the overflow and of the use and understanding of the power and the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. I have keys to my home. Therefore, I have the power to get into my home, and I have the authority to walk in my home. If I give you keys to my home, what I am saying to you is I'm empowering you to use my home as yours, to go in and do what you need to do, but I'm giving you the authority to walk in it. Jesus has given us his keys, his authority to enter the kingdom of heaven, and the power to move in the power of the kingdom of heaven as we enter it, as it flows in our lives, because it is at hand, it's here. If we seek it, find it, now we enter it to move in his spirit in those things, to be able to bind and to loosen, to be able to declare, to be able to heal, just like he told his disciples. You move in my power. You go, you preach the gospel, you heal the sick, you say it lost, you know, you cast out demons. You do those things in Jesus' name. Those keys give us the authority and the power to do those things, to stand on those things. Those keys give anyone in this room, in obedience, in faithfulness, as a child, the faith to at any moment when God says, get up off your seat and pray over someone because I want to heal them right now, to get up and you lay hands and say, in Jesus' name, I declare healing because God wants to heal them right now. You have that. Those are the keys that God has given us. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a worship leader. You just have to be faithful. You just have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Be that child who receives like a sponge the presence of God. Enter into that kingdom and you can do those things. Any one of us can do those things. That's why one of our visions as a church is not to just pray for people, but teach people how to pray for themselves and for one another. Our job is to equip you in the knowledge and the use of those keys that God has given us to do such things. We enter it in his keys. Those keys are the way in. And we're in it, therefore, we are walking in his kingdom. We are declaring in the kingdom of God. When I pray for the sick, when I pray for a sign and wonder or a miracle to take place, as a child, I'm believing it's going to happen. And maybe I'm just a baby as a child, but I'm believing I'm going to open my eyes and it's done. Doesn't sometimes happen that way, but I'm believing that. I'm believing in the power of breakthrough with those keys that get me into in his kingdom and allow me to have authority of his kingdom in my life. You husbands, You heads of households, you are priests of your household. You have those keys over your home. You are the ones God has called to lead your home, to cover your home, your family. Wives, you have authority over your husbands and their lives. You have the keys to cover your husbands, to pray over them. You are their covering. Husbands, you are your wife's covering. You are your children's covering. You have the authority and the keys to stand in the gap for someone else and pray for them. Even if they don't have the faith, it's not their faith, it's our faith. It's not their faith that heals them, it's the faith of the healer. The faith that God, our healer, in me, that I believe he can do it. It's my faith as I'm doing those things. It's my faith when I'm rebuking the spirit of discouragement that's going to break that. It's my faith when I bless somebody with hope and joy that's going to do that. Because the hopeless and the joyless, their faith is weak. But it's the keys that God has given me to walk in his power, in his authority, in his love, in his mercy, in his joy, in his strength. I can go on and on with the different adjectives that I enter in, and these things happen. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. We seek it, we find it, and we enter it. I don't want to be like anyone I've read about in the New Testament who heard and had an opportunity to enter and walked away. I don't want to be like I was, where I've entered his kingdom in some areas of my life, but did not in other areas. I want to enter his kingdom fully. I want God's kingdom to be so blurred with my life that I can't tell the difference anymore. That's my prayer. And every day, I pray God brings me closer to that. And that's my prayer for us as a church, that we as a church worship, move, behave, talk, even the way we pray as ones who have entered the kingdom of God, because it is at hand. Next week, we're going to continue this on what it means that the kingdom of God is within you, and we're going to go a little deeper in that. But right now, if you would bow your heads with me. Holy Spirit, come and bring revelation right now. Bring revelation upon your people who are sitting here as a child, the faith of a child who've been receiving. Bring forth that revelation, God. Speak into our lives, God, right now. Speak. What I want you to do right now, I feel the Holy Spirit begins and ends with repentance. What are the strongholds and the high places, really the high places that you run back to? That's what we need to break right now. Maybe it is that computer. Maybe it's that place you frequent. Maybe a high place is a person in your life who's just not good for you anymore, who keeps pulling you down. Maybe it's a situation you keep running to. Repent of it right now and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to break free of it, to destroy it in your life, that it no longer exists. Maybe it's religion battling with a true relationship. Speak to us, Lord. We repent, O God. We repent, O God. We repent to you, Lord. Feel like God has a word for us as a body right now from someone. If He has given it to you, please share it.
The Lord would say that seek understanding. Understanding of my word. Understanding of the keys to the kingdom. Because when you understand them, you'll operate in them. They are truly laws in the spirit. And they are laws that bring life or death. What you declare, what comes out of your mouth, is important. And what you believe in your heart. The enemy knows where you are too. He knows. That's why even my disciples were not able to cast out those evil spirits. They had little faith. Pray for your faith to be increased. As you wait upon me, I will give you that understanding. My word declares, if you seek wisdom, I will give it liberally. Seek me and I will show you. I will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. I have given you the Holy Spirit to teach you all things that you may operate with those keys. To bind on earth and loose. And those strongholds will come down in my name.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just break right now. In Jesus' name, we tear down those high places. In Jesus' name, we break those strongholds right now. And Lord, I bless this body, Lord God, with your understanding. I bless them with your keys to the kingdom. Lord God, I bless them, Lord God, with your knowledge and your strength. I bless them with you, Holy Spirit, to come upon them and to lead them in strength. I bless them with a conviction of heart to make that determined, willful decision to no longer continue the way things were, but to enter into your kingdom. Take it by force in their lives if they need to. Not be afraid of it. Not be ashamed of what they've done. And the stronghold of shame. Ooh, I'm sorry. In Jesus' name right now, we command that spirit of shame and that spirit of insecurity that comes, brings forth that spirit of shame, that bursts that spirit of shame. We command it in Jesus' name to flee. In Jesus' name, spirit of shame and guilt, you are no longer affecting us, because by His stripes we are healed, and the blood of Jesus took away our sin, our guilt, and our shame. He set us free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free of sin, guilt, and shame right now in Jesus' name. And I bless this body, Lord, with courage and boldness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What I feel like we need to do in order to close, how we're going to close the service today, is I want to ask if soft music can play. And I'm just going to step away. And I just want to have you continue to do business with God that you need to do today. And when you're done, you're free to go. But the Lord is working here. Hi, Maureen. So Father, just continue to minister, Holy Spirit, continue to minister, and Lord, in your time, you lead us out. And Lord, Holy Spirit, come bless your children, that when they leave with more of you and much less of them. In Jesus' name.
Precious are the thoughts you